Wonderful that we as a nation have a day of thanks. And of course, those of us who know the Lord, this day of thanks has a deep and abiding meaning as we think of the fact that the Creator of the heaven and the earth knows us, loves us, desired for us to be a part of His family, made a way for us to be a part of His eternal kingdom. It's a humbling thing to think of. And thanks, giving thanks is good for the soul. It may be one of the most important things we do in our walk with Christ. I'm reminded of the story, maybe some of you have heard of the great writer Rudyard Kipling. He was a poet and wrote short stories and novels about 100 years ago. And there was a time when he was at the height of his career, and this newspaper reported that every word Rudyard Kipling wrote was worth 25 shillings, which in that time was a lot of money. And so some students read that, and they thought, hey, you know, they took a collection, and they sent 25 shillings to Mr. Kipling. And they said, we hear that, you know, every word you write is worth 25 shillings, so send us your best word. So 2 days later, the students got a telegram from Rudyard Kipling, and it had one word on it: thanks. So when we celebrate Thanksgiving, you know, there's a deep and rich history behind it. We've given you this little insert in your bulletin just so you would, if you're not familiar with the story of the Pilgrims. I remember one Thanksgiving we had a bunch of folks at our house, and I kind of shared the story about the Pilgrims, and there were two or three people there sharing the Thanksgiving lunch with us who did not know that the Pilgrims were Christians. You know, they're not going to tell you that at school these days. And the truth is, you know, the Pilgrims loved the Lord Jesus. They were a part of an independent church, kind of like ours. They were an independent church because they had broken away from the Church of England. They met in secret, much like thousands of Christians do in China and in North Korea. And they met in secret because at that time they weren't called Pilgrims. They were called Separatists because they had separated themselves from the Church of England. And, of course, the head of the Church of England was the King of England, King James I, and he took that as a personal affront of anybody who separated themselves from the Church of England. And he considered them traitors, and he began to hunt them down, torture them, execute them. And so this little band of believers decided, you know, maybe the best thing for them to do would be to leave the country. So they left, went to Holland. Things didn't work out real well there in Holland either, because they didn't speak the language, and they could only get menial jobs. They had a hard time providing for their families. And so after much discussion and much prayer, they decided to go to the New World, to go to North America. And so you know the story. They crowded onto this little boat called the Mayflower, came to North America, and began this colony. It was, of course, very difficult for them. That first year, half of them died. You have to remember that the Pilgrims, they were not farmers and hunters. They were craftsmen and city folk. And so they struggled in this harsh northeastern winter. And at the end of that winter, God sent them a blessing, you know, some Indians who were willing to help them, an Indian who could even speak English, and an Indian who was a Christian, and that is just a wonderful story. It's alluded to in the flyer in your bulletin. But God provided for them, and then as a result of, you know, a bountiful crop in the fall, they decided to have a day of Thanksgiving. They invited the Indians, and so the Indians came, and if you read the historical accounts, they had three priorities for that day of Thanksgiving. They wanted to give thanks to God, they wanted to have a feast, and they wanted to have fun. So they had, you know, athletic games with the Indians and that sort of thing. So I want to encourage you, you know, to have feast and to have fun on Thanksgiving Day. Watching football is fun for you, then fine, watch football. And there's something new. I don't know if you receive this. I received in the mail, a lot of stores are opening up at 6 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day. So if shopping is fun for you, you know, you can do that now as well. But don't leave out the prayer part as well. I hope that you'll begin your day of Thanksgiving thanking the Lord for His kindness, for His mercy, and for His blessings, and that it'll be a great celebration as you give thanks for to the Lord for all that he has done. And just think about, you know, what your Thanksgiving would be if the Lord Jesus himself showed up at your Thanksgiving. And you know what? Because we're Christians, the Lord Jesus will show up at your Thanksgiving. We're filled with his Spirit. His presence is with us. But if he were coming in the flesh, you know, I started thinking about what would the Lord Jesus give thanks for? And I thought, well, he'd probably give thanks for the same thing he gave thanks for when he, walked on the earth 2,000 years ago. And so I did a little study and looked at the things that God gave thanks for, and they're in your bulletin if you look in the sermon notes. We're going to do something different this morning. As you know, we've been studying the Gospel of John. We've been going through verse by verse through the Gospel of John, but we're going to take about a two-month break from the Gospel of John. This morning, we're going to look at the things that Jesus gave thanks for. Next week, we're going to start a series, a Christmas series. We do Christmas big here at Pine Mountain Christian Community Church. We're going to sing the hymns, you know, every Sunday for the four Sundays before the Christmas carols, the four Sundays before Christmas. And we're also going to have a Christmas study. This year's study will be on Isaiah 9, verse 6, where Isaiah the prophet foretold of the Messiah, and he said, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so those first four Sundays, we're going to talk about why Jesus is wonderful. Then the next Sunday, we're going to talk about Jesus the Counselor, Jesus the Mighty God, Jesus the Prince of Peace. So it'll be an interesting study on the character of Christ that'll prepare our hearts for Christmas. So I know you'll want to be a part of that series. But as you look at your notes on the back of your bulletin, we're going to focus on three things. First of all, Jesus was thankful for the simplicity of the gospel. Secondly, Jesus was thankful for the provision of the Father. And then thirdly, Jesus was thankful for salvation through the cross. And so if you have your Bible with you, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to take the one out of the rack in front of you. And if you if it'll help you find it a little bit faster in the rack Bible, it's on page 689. And so in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says this. He says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. That's a very unique sentence of praise, don't you think? And I'd like to just kind of tell you what happened before Jesus said this. Back in chapter 10, Jesus got his disciples together, his 12 disciples, and they had a little huddle. And Jesus said something like this. I'm going to paraphrase. He says, okay, you guys have been following me around for about 7 months now. You've heard me preach. And now it's your turn. I'm going to send you out to preach. And I would think that that would have been a little bit scary for those 12 men. They'd never done anything like that before. But they had the greatest teacher who had ever lived. And he made it real simple for them. And he not only made it real simple, he empowered them. It says that he gave them authority to cast out evil spirits, and to heal every disease and sickness. And then he gave them this instructions. He said, share this message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now when Jesus said, and of course that was the same message that Jesus had been preaching. And when Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, some translate it, you know, the kingdom of heaven is near. And what Jesus meant was that the kingdom of heaven is here. In other words, it's at hand. You can take hold of it. And people need to turn away from those things that are not pleasing to God and take hold of the kingdom of God. And so that was the message that these 12 disciples were to give. And so they went out to various cities in Galilee. And then they all came back together. And after they came back together, they kind of shared their reports. And there were good reports, and there were discouraging reports. In other words, there were those who rejected that message. And so Jesus, after hearing of the cities that rejected that message, I think in an attitude of sorrow, he laments the fact that there were those who rejected. There were those who, because of pride, you know, they thought they were too good. They didn't need to repent. They thought that their good works would make them good enough to get to heaven. And, of course, we know that our God is a holy God. Heaven is a holy place. We could never be good enough to get into heaven with our own goodness. And so Jesus makes this comment, "I praise you, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from wise and the learned." And when Jesus talks about wisdom, you know, Scripture makes it clear, and Jesus makes it clear, that there's human wisdom and there's godly wisdom. And so when he says he's hiding this from the wise, he's not talking about hiding it for those who really understand what's going on. He's saying he's hiding this from those who think they know more than God, who think that their way is better than God's way, who think that they don't need God, that they don't need to repent. And so Jesus, in these words of praise, is thankful that the gospel is available to everyone. It's not just available to those who are smart, those who have a degree, those who have wealth, those who have fame. It's welcome to everyone. And so there's this great mistake that many people make in thinking that they're good enough, or in thinking that their wisdom will be enough to allow them into heaven. It's interesting to think of what the Apostle Paul wrote. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, and you don't need to turn to it. It's there in your notes. Let me just read it to you. The Apostle Paul wrote and said this, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel," or the good news, "not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." We know that we're going to heaven because of the power of God, not because of our goodness, not because of our intelligence. And then the Apostle Paul also wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." In other words, what the Apostle Paul says, all you have to do is look at creation. The incredible beauty and design of creation points to a designer, so that every person who stands before God will be without excuse. Then the Apostle Paul goes on to write this, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave," he's referring to the idol worship of his time, "therefore God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another." And so people rejected the wisdom of God, held on to their own wisdom, and as a result, God gave them over. It is a sad thing, a terrible mistake to miss out on this great salvation that God has for us. The road to blessing is the road of humility. The Lord Jesus said, "He that humbles himself will be exalted." If we see our need for God, if we humble ourselves for him, before him, God will exalt us to heaven. The Apostle Peter wrote this, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God." You would think that would be an easy thing to do. Jesus looked at the multitude and was thankful that the gospel is understandable to everyone, even children. And we see many children come to Christ in this church through our Awana program, through the Vacation Bible School. And Jesus says later that you must come to Christ as a child. That simple trust in Jesus is what God desires more than anything else. Then secondly, Jesus was thankful for the provision of the Father. This is going to be kind of a review for those of you who have been a part of our study of the Gospel of John. In John chapter 6, Jesus and his disciples got in a boat and went to the other side of Galilee. They expected to be alone, but instead 5,000 men showed up, and that was just a small part. It says 5,000 men plus women and children. So it was a pretty huge crowd. You know, what would that do to your Thanksgiving if unexpectedly, you know, a few thousand people showed up? Actually, that kind of happened to the pilgrims at the very first Thanksgiving. They invited the Indians to come. They thought maybe 30 would show up. 90 showed up. So it was kind of a surprise to them. And they're thinking, how are we going to feed all these people? But, you know, that's kind of what happened here in John chapter 6. If you turn in the Rack Bible to page 754, in verse 5, you know, it kind of, just to remind you what happened, it says, Jesus looked up and he saw this great crowd coming toward him. And then he said to Philip, he says, Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? And Philip is looking at the crowd, and I'm sure, you know, he's shaking his head. And then it's interesting, it says that in this next verse, it says that Jesus asked this only to test him. For he already had in mind what he was going to do. And you know, there's great words of comfort there. You may be here this morning in a very difficult situation. You may be here this morning and you're thinking about Thanksgiving and you're thinking, you know what, I'm going to have a hard time giving thanks this Thanksgiving because of some things I'm struggling with. And I want you to note the words of comfort that are here. Jesus knew what he was going to do. And I want to encourage you this morning that if you're struggling, you may not know what to do, but the Lord Jesus knows what to do. And if you turn to him and trust him for his wisdom, if you trust him as your shepherd and follow his leading, he'll lead you and guide you so that you can deal with that difficulty. The pilgrims, you know, when the 90 braves show up, God knew what he was going to do. Those Indians brought, you know, a couple of deer with them, a bunch of turkeys and some other fowl, and they had plenty to eat. And so I don't know your situation, but the Lord does. The Lord knows what he will do. The Lord is never taken by surprise with the things that happen in our life. The Lord has the power to see in the future. And thirdly, the Lord will provide. And the Lord gives thanks. Or excuse me, secondly, the Lord will provide. In verse 11, you know, it says, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in the place. The men sat down, 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And it's, you know, it's humbling to me to think that Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven, and yet he had to trust his Father in heaven just like the rest of us. Jesus associated with the poor and needy. God could have come to earth and lived a rich life, but he lived and associated with the poor and needy, and he had to trust his Father for his meals just like we do. And here's the Lord Jesus who, at the beginning of time, as he was united with the Father and the Holy Spirit, merely spoke, and the earth brought forth wheat. And here he is thanking his Father for this bread. When he was one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, together they spoke, and the ocean and the lakes were filled with life. And here is the Lord Jesus thanking his Father for these few fish. And then he gave the fish and the bread to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the people. And what if those disciples, you know, I was thinking, what if the disciples just, you know, took that bread and said, thank you, Jesus, for lunch, and kept it to themselves? They didn't do that. They took what they received from the Lord and they shared it with others. And you know, if you're thankful for something this Thanksgiving, share it with others. If you're thankful for food, share it with others. If you're thankful that you have money, share your money with others. If you're thankful that you have a car, share your car with others. You know, give people rides. Share and be part of being thankful is sharing with others. Sharing is demonstrates a thankful heart. And then thirdly, I like to move on to this third point. Jesus was thankful for the cross. He was thankful that salvation came through the cross. The passage that we have there is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you have the Rack Bible, it's on page 812. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is sharing with the Corinthians what he heard about the life of Jesus. And it's really an amazing thought that the Apostle Paul shares. In verse 23, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that what I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you.'" Now I want you to picture this. The Lord Jesus is with his disciples. He takes the bread and he gives thanks as he would normally do. But this is not just some normal thanksgiving. This is not just some normal blessing or typical blessing. Jesus gives thanks for the bread and then he says, "This is my body broken for you." He did the same with the cup. He gave thanks for the cup, but this was no ordinary blessing for the cup. He gave thanks for the cup and then he said, "This is the covenant of my blood." Jesus was literally giving thanks that he would have to suffer and take our shame and punishment upon himself. He was thankful that he could do that for us. Take our shame, take the punishment that we deserve, so that we could be forgiven, so that the wrath of God would fall on him and not on us. It's the job of a bodyguard of the President of the United States to take that bullet. The Lord Jesus took that bullet for us, the bullet that we deserve. And the Lord is actually giving thanks for that. We should never forget that our salvation was not cheap. It's amazing to think that the Lord Jesus would step out of the comfort of heaven and take the punishment that we deserve. We should never take our salvation for granted. We should never take anything for granted. The Lord Jesus, as that song said, you know, we have become rich because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. We are rich because we're in his care. We're rich because he knows us and has committed himself to provide for us. I know it's tempting to think, I'd like a little bit more. I don't consider myself rich. But, you know, the truth is, if you stand in your closet and spend a few minutes trying to decide what to wear, you're rich. Because the majority of people in this world wear the same thing every day and they sleep in the same clothes that they wear every day. The majority of people in this world, 53%, I think I shared this actually the last time we were talking about John chapter 6, 53% of the people in the world today live on $2 a day. It takes three full days of wages to have a meal at McDonald's. If you eat at a restaurant, you're rich. The majority of the people in the world have never eaten at a restaurant in their entire life. If you have a car and trade a car in that runs for another car, you're rich. If you trade in a cell phone that works perfectly fine for a new and updated cell phone, you're rich. We have much to give thankful for. When you think that there's 1.3 billion people in China, 1.2 billion in India alone, there's about 30 million here in the United States. We're a small minority. We are a unique people, uniquely blessed. And we have a wonderful responsibility before the Lord to use what he's given us to further his kingdom and to further his gospel. And so, as we think of all that the Lord is and all that he's done for us, it should motivate us all the more to have grateful hearts and to give thanks and to be humbled for all that the Lord has done for us. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we stand in awe this morning as we bask in your mercy towards us, as we give thanks for your provision for us, as we give thanks that you have made your gospel readily available to everyone. You've made it simple, simple for us to receive, simple for us to share with others. And so, Lord, we pray that out of grateful hearts, we will share with the people we know that you can be trusted. That it is only right and wise to humble ourselves before you, because the truth is, we're puny, we're weak, and you are awesome, you are limitless, You are all powerful, and it is only right and good that we should humble ourselves before you and put our trust in you. And so, Lord, we do that now. And Lord, in the quietness of our own heart, we want to give thanks. In the quietness of our own heart, we want to give thanks for our salvation, for your care for us, and we want to give thanks for the cross. And Lord, we want to thank you for all that you've prepared for us for the future, for you've prepared for us a glorious future. And we pray, Lord, that we would begin now trusting you to work in our life so that we can enjoy all that you have for us, beginning now and through eternity. And so, Lord, give us the grace to count our blessings, to rejoice in our blessings, and to share those blessings with others. For we are your children, we are your people, and in this we rejoice. Amen and amen. Would you stand with us as the worship team leads us in